Good morning. Wastatus Lee. I'll call this meeting to order. It is 8:32. I'll ask Ernie Stephen III for some words.
Wastatus Lee. Sugli Sugwake. Sugwain Dusu, we thank you for another day. Thank you for another day, and we thank you for all the blessings you have given us as Oneida people, in our families, and our individuals. We ask that you continue to guide us and bless us as we move forward in our lives, and to remind ourselves to be humble and to be strong. And I know there's a lot of families in mourning now as well. So I want to ask that we all send prayers and strength and blessings to those families who have lost loved ones in recent days. And also give them the strength and guidance. And to continue to help us in everything that we do every single day. And just want to thank you again for this beautiful day and on this earth and this sovereign nation, this beautiful place that we call Oneida, and ask that you continue to guide us through this. I want to thank you for sun, the moon, all the rain we've gotten this year. We've had a good harvest. I want to thank you for that. It's very important to us. And just pretty much everything that we've been blessed to partake in every single day here at Oneida. And I just want to thank you and continue to ask that you be patient with us as human beings and to be just watch over us, and especially for those in need. A lot of people who are in need, who have struggles, and we ask that you help them in whatever strength that we can give, please pass on to them. And so with that, I want to thank everyone for being here, and again, have patience and with us as well, and provide us with guidance. And don't go. Done it to.
All right, thank you. All right, moving on the agenda. Well, we have special recognitions for years of service. Geraldine.
Good morning. We're here today to celebrate your years of service and your contribution to the Oneida Nation. Each of you have that we're recognizing today have 25 years of service. That says a lot about you and what you have given to the organization to help us grow and prosper and to become what we are today. So thank you all for your time and dedication to the Oneida Nation. So for the first person today with 25 years of service is John Dubois. No. Cindy MacArthur.
So Cindy has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Nation. She is over the top in everything she does. She takes great pride in her game, dealing with great integrity and ensuring that she is providing the best customer service. Cindy is very dedicated and over the past 25 years has not had one single call-in. She truly is a great asset to our department. Thank you for the great service you have provided. On behalf of the Oneida Nation and the Business Committee, and the Oneida Business Committee is thankful to Cindy for her unwavering dedication to the organization and the community.
Our next employee is Amy Skenador with 25 years of service.
Thank you.
Amy has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the United Nation. Amy is a great person to have on our team. She is committed to providing excellent customer service to our customers at the tables as well as the employees she supervises. She often goes above and beyond to help her coworkers when they are in need. Thank you, Amy, for all you have done over the past 25 years. On behalf of the Oneida Nation, the Oneida Business Committee is thankful to Amy for her unwavering dedication to the organization and the community.
Next, we have Gail Smith with 25 years of service. Sorry, I forgot my glasses. In behalf of Gail Smith, on behalf of the United Nation, it is with great pleasure to present the years of service commendation on this 24th day of October 2018 to Gail Smith. Gail has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the United Nation. Gail has been a great, hardworking employee of the old Anna John Nursing Home and is now in the new Anna John Nursing Home. Gail's always willing to help when needed and take pride in every duty that she performs. Thank you, Gail, for your commitment. On behalf of the United Nation, the United Business Committee is thankful to Gail for her unwavering dedication to the organization and community. I also got a plaque for Gail from DPW. Next, we have Daniel Lara with 25 years of service. All right, then we'll go with Larry Smith with 25 years of service.
Larry has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Nation. During this time period, he served in two positions within the gaming division. Larry started his employment as a slot supervisor and stayed in this role for 13 years, from August 1993 to June 2006. He then took a new position as an employee relations representative and has been in this role for 12 years. He takes great pride in helping our employees. Larry is a valued and loyal team member of the gaming division, and his continued contributions are vital for us to remain successful in meeting our vision, mission, and values. Congratulations, Larry, on the significant work milestone. On behalf of the Oneida Nation, the Oneida Business Committee is thankful to Larry for his unwavering dedication to the organization and community. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you. Next, we have Laura Lane with 25 years of service.
Good morning. Laura's been with retail for 25 years, and I'll tell you, she is an integral part of what we do on a daily basis. So if you're ever in one of the stores and the price is wrong, Laura has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Nation. Laura has proven to be an awesome team player with her attention to detail and organization. Laura manages our point-of-sale system, and our employees and customers count on her dedication to keeping the system running and accurate. Oneida Retail is proud to be celebrating 25 years of service with Laura. On behalf of the United Nation, the United Business Committee is thankful to Laura for her unwavering dedication to the organization and community.
Next, we have Lonnie Matoxin with 25 years of service.
Good morning. On behalf of the Oneida Nation, it is with great pleasure to present this year's Years of Service commendation on this 24th day of October 2018 to Lonnie L. Matoxin. Lonnie has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the United Nation. Lonnie is currently a surveillance supervisor and has become a valuable team member. As he celebrates a significant anniversary of employment for the United Nation, it is clear he values the United mission and vision. Our organizational and department achievements are made possible because of his individual and team efforts. On behalf of the United Nation, the United Business Committee is thankful to Lonnie for his unwavering dedication to the organization and community. Thank you, Lonnie.
Next, we have Leslie Matoxin Ness with 25 years of service. Sorry.
Good morning. On behalf of the United Nations, it is with great pleasure and honor to present this 25 years of service commendation to Leslie Ness on this 24th day of October 2018. Leslie has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the United Nation. Over the past 25 years, Leslie has worked in various departments. Leslie began her health, her health center career in the dental department as a dental associate. From there, she took her dental expertise into the billing department as a billing specialist. Soon she became the supervisor of the billing department, where she led the team for several years. In February 2009, she became the assistant business operations director and has spent her 25 years improving the status of health care for her Oneida community. On behalf of the United Nation, the United Business Committee is thankful to Leslie for her unwavering and dedication to the organization and the community.
No speech? Next, we have Vicki Chambers with 25 years of service.
My name is Blair Broughton, Assistant Slot Director. Vicki Chambers has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Nation. Vicki spent all 25 years in the slot department, first being a slot service representative for 16 years, then becoming a slot technician for the last 9 years. Vicki is very comfortable in greeting, treating, talking to our guests, and helping wherever and whenever she is needed. Just this month, Vicki became a senior slot technician and is quickly learning many new problems to solve. Vicki enjoys working on machines and making sure they are ready for our guests to play. She's not afraid to ask for help when needed and is always willing to work with the other staff in the departments involving problems with our guests. On behalf of the Oneida Nation, the Oneida Business Committee, and the Gaming Division, we are thankful to Vicki for her dedication to the organization and community. Congratulations.
Has Daniel or John come in since I went through this? Okay. Okay, so here's our 25 years of service employees. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you.
Well, on behalf of the business committee, I'd like to thank you all for your years of service. Today we had 19 employees being recognized for a total of 475 years of service to the nation. And so that's all within 19 employees. So it's a lot of experience and dedication to the tribe over the last 25 years. And thank you to you and your family for providing that for Oneida Nation. Okay. Let's see, moving forward, we have an agenda before us. I think we have two noted changes in the agenda. One is unfinished business, number one. We need to change that to DR04, and new business 8. The portfolio media, change that to media. So just noted changes. Unfinished business, number one, it should be DRO04. Unfinished business, number one, in executive session.
Make a motion to adopt the agenda with the noted changes.
And motion has been made and seconded. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Abstentions. Motion carries. Oaths of office. Jenny Webster. Councilwoman Jenny Webster is going to administer the oaths. We have Xavier Horkman, Beverly Skinador, Elijah Matoxin, Melissa Matoxin, and Wendy Alvarez.
Yes, I'm gonna come forward.
Yeah, could you come forward, please?
State your name, hereby promise to uphold the laws and regulations of the United Nations.
I, Xavier Horkman, hereby promise to uphold the laws and regulations of the United Nations,
the General Tribal Council and the Tribal Constitution. I will perform my duties to the best of my ability on behalf of the United People.
I will perform my duties to the best of my ability and on behalf of the
maintain confidential information and strict confidentiality.
Confidential information and strict confidentiality.
I will carry out the duties
appreciate it.
To do that.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, thank you for your service. We'll move on to the minutes. If there's any additions, changes, or deletions from the September 26th regular business committee meeting minutes, we can approve those. Looking for a motion to approve the September 26th regular business committee meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Rosa. All right. Minutes B. Approve. Looking for a motion to approve the October 10th regular business committee meeting minutes.
So moved.
Motion is made and seconded. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Resolutions. We have a resolution here entitled Amending Resolution BC072617J in relation to the Children's Code. My understanding, I'm a little unclear, if you can help me, Clarissa. The resolve says... we're going to change the date. I know we just want to make sure we're ready completely. That was the purpose of the transition plan. And so pending the 161 agreements with the counties, we're looking at the 455 days. I didn't understand if it was from the fiscal year adoption of 2019 up to 445 days. So we get the resolution's given us a window to adopt in between. That's my reading of it.
The original resolution, BC 72617J, that set the effective date of the Children's Code to be 455 days after the adoption of the fiscal year 18 budget. And the fiscal year 18 budget was adopted that October, so that set the effective date to January 6, 2019. Now, as we're working through implementation, there have been some delays, and we figured out that there are more standards and process that the departments want to develop, so we're asking to get that date pushed back. So what this is asking is that we're changing the date the Children's Code will become effective from that 455 calendar days from the approval of the fiscal 2018 budget to October 1st, 2019. So this resolution would set a new effective date of October 1st, 2019, which would be the start of the 2020 fiscal year.
Okay, so that's what confused me, is throwing the days in there, because that was 15 months that we used before, and that's what threw me off. So 455 days is basically 15 months, and I get it. Okay. So if you guys are prepared to adopt the resolution... Looking for a motion to adopt the resolution entitled Amending Resolution BC072617J to delay the implementation of the Children's Code.
So moved.
Right, motion by Jenny, second by Kirby. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Thank you, Clarissa. All right. We have a resolution entitled Participation in Nationwide Elder Needs Assessment. Sponsor is George Skinador. Jenny?
Just to explain a little bit, periodically the Oneida Elder Services Department participates in a needs assessment that is used for determining the needs of the Oneida elders and programs that support them. So participation in this evaluation requires a tribal resolution. So I'll make a motion to adopt the resolution entitled Participation in a Nationwide Elder Needs Assessment.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, second by David. Discussion? Any discussion up here? Okay. All right. Ed, you have 5 minutes.
There's a elderly man who eats lunch at an elderly lunch place. For the last 3 months, he's been living in his car with his cat. I talk to him quite often because and some people can't understand it because this is a guy that probably could get on the list and wait, but he preferred not to get on the list because of all the rules and regulations centered around elderly housing. He could not leave his cat or whatever animal he had. It might be a dog. Finally, after 3 or 4 months, he got an apartment on the east side. I also talked to him that he would prefer to build a house. He's not a poor man, but he thought he was an Oneida. Well, he is an Oneida. He grew up in Seattle, Washington, or somewhere in that area. But he did not want to live under all those rules and regulations of housing. Housing is a great thing. But there are people who do not want all those rules, and there are people who have the resources to buy or to build. But nothing worked for him. He could not get the opportunity to build. He could... I don't know how much he pursued the housing market that's available, but I do know, and I told him that as an elder, you're not giving hardly any priority if you want to buy one of these houses, 3, 4, or 5 bedrooms. Do I understand it? You know, the applications are given, and then the people study the applications and determine who needs it the most or who can afford it the most or whatever. I'm just hoping that somewhere along the line there's more offered to elders. And I know there's money. I mean, there's elders get a lot in Oneida. We do. We get $4,000 on per capita day, which is greatly, greatly appreciated and needed. But I would just hope there's more chances for elders to acquire land and to build. And I know there's been a lot of talk about, well, there's 3 places on by Site 2. Well, actually, there's 6 spaces there. 3 that are somewhat developed and 3 that are more in a hole and in the woods. And one of those places... of the 3 that are developed, right next to a big old
drainage, yeah.
Place where there's water going through or a swamp pond or something like that. I can imagine the mosquitoes. I would live in one of those, but he looked at that and it was not acceptable to him. I'm just saying elders should not be... This is what we're doing for elders. Just take this... Like I said before, Site 1 is my favorite site. That's where the life is. But some people don't want that. Some people are used to living more independently in their own home. And there's no rare opportunities for Oneidas who are elders to have places to live. They're sectioned off. Singles here, elders here, families here, and that doesn't appeal to many. And it also doesn't appeal to our traditions or We were whole. We were whole. We were communities where elders walked around and children walked around and family mothers and fathers walked around, and there was all one community. It wasn't segregated. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ed. All right, Joanne?
I think that there are a couple of issues that are raised by Mr. Delgado's comments, and I think that they're important to understand. One is that ONCOA requested our housing components to create an elder-only site at their request. And so Housing Authority and Land Management attempted to accommodate that request. If that particular policy should change, it should change, come from ONCOA. And I encourage Mr. Delgado to meet with ONCOA, talk about that. And I agree, it conflicts with our history, it conflicts with our culture, it conflicts with our very selves. And isolating any one group just because they're all the same isn't really the best interest of anyone. Our diversity is what makes us stronger. The other is that we have opened up home buying, land acquisition opportunities significantly. And it isn't limited to those areas. We have programs out there where individuals can identify any location and then contact the tribe to purchase the land so they only have the value of the home, et cetera, on there. So what we used to have in place is significantly different, as well as how they identify who a winning bidder is. I believe it's all on price at this point. Some of those more paternalistic ideas no longer exist in the processes. So I would encourage Mr. Delgado to meet with Mr. Pelkey, the division director of that area, or Dana McCluster, the comprehensive housing division director, to go through those so that when he meets individuals such as this gentleman, that he can give them some different insights and different opportunities, because there are challenges out there, but we've also changed the rules, and there are significant opportunities that aren't as well known as what we historically did. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you, Joanne. What Joanne is referring to is the HIP program. So within the reservation, a tribal member can go look in the housing market, find the house that they want, and purchase it. And with the HIP money, the tribe will purchase the land. And so that could take anywhere from $20,000 to $40,000 off the price tag of a home. And so that would, put a lot of those prices into the range where, instead of building an entire home, which is very time-consuming and very labor-intensive. So I think there's definitely some options, but I hear what you're saying is you want us to look at the elder portion of some of these other programs so it's not just specifically, single families, large families, four-person homes. We get you into an elder home where you can't have no grandchildren with you. And so those are things that I've heard you in the past say is like these rules are too restrictive, especially with all the parent or grandparents that are raising their grandchildren. And so I think those are the things that we need to or continue to look at as we're moving forward with these housing programs.
Just one comment. Within the last month, my sister bought one of those. We're now looking to open market, identified a house, 197, try bought the land for her. So it was 167 and affordable. So she thinks it's a great program.
All right. Thank you, Ed. All right. Any more discussion? If not, motion as made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Resolution C. Adopt resolution entitled Establishing Priority List of Services in Accordance with the Budget Management Control Law. All right. And I think in the beginning of the meeting, I also failed to recognize that Chairman Hill, Councilman Daniel Guzman King, and Secretary Lisa Summers are out at NCI in Denver for the National Congress of American Indian annual conference. And 75th annual. And Trish is out for a funeral, but she said she should be here this morning sometime. So it just brings it up to, this was her item. I think she wanted to be here for that. But Joanne?
She did ask if she wasn't available, if I could present the resolution. So if you wanted to move forward, we could. Otherwise, we could defer this.
Okay, we can move forward if you have any questions.
This resolution establishes the priority listing that's required in the Budget Management and Control Law. It is pulled from various sources of information that the Business Committee has received and requested. The resolution identifies the information recovered from the General Tribal Council meeting with the Mentimeter, a great experience and experiment for the membership to have that type of input. We recognized the limitations regarding it. We hope to improve that in the future. They've looked at the quality of life survey and requested our statistician to pull together information from that that would prioritize that list that's set in the Budget Management and Control Law. You've also looked at your strategic plan, strategic plans of organizational units throughout the in every part. You've looked at the comprehensive plan to create this priority list, and this resolution sets the list as identified on page 60, beginning with housing and ending with utilities, wells, wastewater, and septic. One of the last resolve identifies that none of these stand alone. So when you look at the order of the list, it seems kind of odd that housing's at top, but the utilities, wells, wastewater, and septic is at the bottom. That's because housing was the priority in order to establish that item 13 is a part of it. It's all integrated. It's just how are we focusing the resources of the tribe in managing the budget activities. So the request is adoption of the resolution.
So moved.
Our motion is made.
Second.
Seconded. Discussion. Kirby?
Since we do have the CFO in the room, I just want to confirm that the CFO is in support of this resolution.
Larry?
Well, Larry. From the standpoint that it complies with the BMCA, it really doesn't have any incumbency as to what finances perspective is, other than that we're complying with the existing, you know, proclaimed mandate from the law. But the expression from the community, we certainly support that to validate their preference of where resource allocation should be afforded. The more granular interpretation with folks that I talk to, which is not a valid sampling, is yes, we elevated health care, but it's health care for our enrolled Oneidas first. It's not a mandate to have the perspective that a community facility, albeit we're benevolent and we welcome our neighbors, is an open door. So I get that from elders, from parents, mothers trying to get an appointment, who expressed their frustration with some assumption that I, as a managerial leader, as a financial leader, effectuate that decision. So I think when you ask what finance's opinion is, I take some license to express that perspective from many of our members. We know health care is a priority, but again, it's health care for the immediacy of our enrolled Oneidas, maybe some sense of responsibility to our descendants, and then the vans from up north after that, to be descript. But that doesn't appear to somehow prioritize itself. So I think to honor the fact that we did receive input, a little deeper dive within that healthcare space, because it is number one, housing is number one. Within that, what specifically do you want? And I think it's, again, my opinion is probably not statistically valid. I think asking the membership within the healthcare space, what from a service delivery standpoint would you like to see? What I hear is I would like more expedient response to my request for an appointment. Okay. And I think we've all experienced that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. If you guys are okay with it. Ernie?
I'm just going to want to add to some of Joanne's comments and Larry's comments as well. As I know we've talked at length about this. In the aspect of this is a numbered system that's a list that, you know, essentially combines quality of life study as well as, you know, and it's consistent, doesn't combine, but is consistent with the non-numbered listing elements within the comp plan. So it's pretty consistent with the needs. But the one thing I want to, kind of remind everyone from a public standpoint is that these are all important elements of the nation. I think that through a discussion that we're having as far as an education campaign about, because we always attempt to educate, maybe the wrong word, but just share our story about the services and programs that we do have, that it's not just always an explicit budget discussion, that it's about, you know, a data-driven discussion of what we do service. And the services that we do provide that we can track, and then people can say, "Yeah, I received help from the nation in this way," and housing being a big one, and just to, you know, that this list will drive that as well. But things like, you know, number 13, like Joanne kind of mentioned, these things kind of come together. You don't have housing without utilities, wells, and wastewater, septic. So they all kind of work together, and just want to share that, you know, from a public standpoint. This is a documented meeting that anybody looking at this list needs to understand that this is an organic list. And for one example I always use for housing is everybody wants housing. It's the number one thing to a lot of people, but there's a need for the membership to understand what that means, what housing is as far as the nation's concerned, and that we have 17,000+ members, and if they all came home, does that necessarily mean that we're going to build housing across the reservation and turn into Scottsdale? That's not really the case. So I use that example because there has to be understanding of what we're able to do and what we currently have available for the membership. So I just want to just share that because this community education campaign we're discussing will hopefully take from this list and help kind of just paint a picture and tell a story as to what we really do offer and have available for the membership. Thank you.
All right. So any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Thank you. All right. Appointments. We got United Nation Veterans Affairs Committee. Reviewed the applicants. Jenny?
Make a motion to appoint John Brenninger to the ONVAC based on the recommendation from the ONVAC committee.
All right, motion has been made.
Second.
Seconded. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Appointments to Oneida Powell Committee. We have one vacancy and one applicant, and so past precedent, we are looking to repost to get a little more, see if we can get some more participation in the applicant process. So, if you guys are okay, we'll look for a motion to repost.
So moved.
For the United Powell Committee.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Discussion.
On behalf of the Powell Committee. Just want to make sure that everyone understands that this has nothing to do with the individual. Just to make that clear, you know, it's a kind of a practice that we want to be consistent on is encourage more applicants and encourage a larger pool to choose from. So, of course, we encourage this applicant to apply again. Just want to make sure that we're consistent about that and that we encourage more applications to come through and just be more proactive about getting the word out. And so I think we're seeing that increase, and this is one example. But Just want to encourage that and remind everyone that that's why we're doing this. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Motion is made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Standing committee meetings. Community Development Planning Committee. Looking to accept the September 16th regular Community Development Planning Committee meeting minutes.
So move.
Second.
Right. Motion is made and seconded. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. We have Finance Committee looking for a motion to approve the October 15th regular Finance Committee meeting minutes.
So move.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Legislative Operating Committee. We have the before us regular Legislative Operating Committee meeting minutes. Looking for a motion to accept those.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. And item number two, adopt amendments to Landlord-Tenant Rule Number 1. The general rental program eligibility selection and other requirements. All right. Clarissa, can you give us a general overview?
Yes. Yeah, so on October 17th, the LOC certified the amendments to this rule, and now the rule is ready for the business committee to consider the adoption. And this rule just kind of sets the general requirements for the general rental program.
Okay, so in your packet just shows the process that we go through when the rule is adopted, the list for the public meeting, who attended, the comments that were provided, and the process that goes through that's required as the rulemaking law requires, and so everything's in order. Jenny?
Chairman, I'll make a motion to adopt the amendments to Landlord-Tenant Rule 1, General Rental Program, Eligibility, Selection, and Other Requirements.
All right, motion has been made. Looking for a second.
Second.
Been seconded. Discussion? All right, Ed?
Two issues on this. Section 1.4-6, pardon and forgiveness. You know, a person who might be ineligible can become eligible, I guess, through pardon and forgiveness. But I don't see any portion where some kind of a criminal record might make you ineligible. I don't know what criminal activity would make a person ineligible. Is it child abuse, a drug dealer, or something more minor like multiple speeding or drunk driving or getting arrested for not drug dealing but using drugs. Using drugs sometimes can result in a criminal record. Well, it does. But as you see, the American people, at least, they don't really support that much about giving people criminal records for using drugs. That's that too many is then these people get out of jail and they can't get their life straight because this program and that program and that program excludes them. Then they wind up using drugs again or they wind up going to jail again because the system doesn't give them a break. So I'm just wondering what is the criminal activity that would make a person have to get a a pardon in order to be on the land that this is that this reservation is treated by treaty and by sacrifice from all Oneida members who take millions of dollars that could go to them directly and say, no, buy this reservation back. Buy this reservation back for Oneidas. So, you know, everybody, I just don't know what it is that a person would be have to get a pardon and forgiveness thing to be eligible to live on the land that belongs to them by treaty. And the other question was, I remember at General Tribal Council many years ago, the question came out that, what about those debts that we owe to, you might have a debt to Elaine Willman. What if you owe her $10,000? And the GTC said, we don't care about those people. If you owe a debt to the tribe, yes, that has relevance. But it is not the job of the tribe to go out there and make sure that the non-Indian people get paid, that the Oneidas have to pay their debts to them. I can understand that it says utilities, yes. The General Tribal Council, in discussion before, has said that debts to non-Indians, why does the Oneida tribe take that on as a requirement to pay those folks who have not always paid us back either? I remember that discussion. And that's why under our per capita law that the only people who can get money from your per capita are for child support and debts owed to the tribe. And that was the discussion at that meeting. Oh, all of a sudden we're going to go start worrying about the non-Indian folks and making sure that Oneidas pay them back. Thank you.
Okay, I think we have a couple of answers for those. I think the one I'm unclear about is what he's talking about, his first question, is what deems them ineligible. So if they review it, basically says review and they take a look at it and you're ineligible. You don't know what makes you eligible or ineligible to be able to apply to that. So if I'm going in, maybe I need to go in and say, I need to fix this before I go in, but I don't know what I need to fix. So if it's a minor or traffic, maybe it's habitual traffic violations, I don't know. So I think those are some of the things being ineligible would kind of deem you. But the other ones, I think we did take out the outside. We took that out in the landlord-tenant law. We took those outside debts out. And so if you're owed a debt on the outside of the tribe, that we don't take that in consideration anymore. But the other outstanding question is just what makes you ineligible to apply? Joanne?
The landlord-tenant law describes eligibility in section 611.4-2, rental eligibility requirements. And so a regulation may set a more stricter rule. It would have to be in the rule itself, but it cannot be less strict than what's set forth in the law. So when we talk about criminal convictions, the law identifies that you have no felony or drug convictions within the past 2 years from the date of application, provided that a pardon or forgiveness received is an exemption to this restriction. So the law itself identifies what those restrictions are. There may be some rental programs that have additional restrictions, such as housing authority under HUD, NAHASDA, and those are governed by federal law and regulation, and those would apply in those circumstances. The Comprehensive Housing Division has identified and segregated its units to its specific purpose and set forth rules regarding those. So the landlord-tenant law itself defines eligibility.
And the rule just tells you how to go through the process, basically, with the set requirements within the law.
Yes.
Okay. Where was that again?
In landlord-tenant law, it's 611.4-2.
4-2. Okay, rental eligibility requirements. Okay, yeah. In order to be eligible for a rental agreement, applicants shall meet the following conditions. And so, yeah, so those go through and meet, set the criteria for the rule to, I guess, to wrap around on how, when you fill out an application. So reading the two documents together is what is how you... So, any more questions?
Under 1.4-5, pass-through accounts, applicants for a rental agreement are ineligible if a review of the applicant's credit record reveals more than five accounts that are past due. That means we're going to have to pay those non-Indians out there what we owe them. In spite of what the tribe's per capita allows, and I know that's per capita, and this is land. Trying to use what General Tribal Council has said in the past, that we shouldn't be worried about, we should not become a debt collector for those non-Indians. This is the Oneida tribe. We should worry about what happens in the Oneida tribe. That's why that was the basis of the wording of the per capita law.
Okay, thank you. Joanne?
Mr. Delgado's absolutely correct in regards to per capita payments. We are protecting those from collection by almost every party except governmental entities. And child support, and there was a purpose for that. These were intended, per capita payments were intended to get to the member. When we're talking about rental properties, and we're talking about apartments and houses, we need to make sure that the individual pays their bills. We're not collecting anything on anybody's behalf. We're simply making sure that they have the ability to pay that bill. Because every tribal member on a purported list to get into rental housing or rental apartments is equally interested. And so weighing all of that, we want to make sure that who gets in there is responsible. So it's not punitive. It's a fairly broad category. It should be easy enough to account for. And as Mr. Delgado indicated, you should pay the amount you owe when you've purchased or obtained goods or services. You've got them, pay for them. It's a simple action.
Okay, any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item number 3, send the resolution entitled Setting the Petition Process for the General Tribal Council to an upcoming General Tribal Council meeting for consideration. So you have a resolution on page 115. Okay. Motion has been made by David to adopt the GTC resolution. No, wait. Just to send. Okay.
Second.
Right. Motion has been made and seconded. Discussion. Joanne?
This resolution is simply to clarify some actions that have been not placed necessarily in writing but have been understood. And so this resolution simply clarifies, if adopted by the General Tribal Council, that body's expectations on how it will move forward regarding petitions. But it doesn't create anything new. It simply sets in a resolution what's already going on. who are requesting that this be approved to be forwarded to the General Tribal Council for action.
Okay. So this, the resolution just basically sets the production schedule and lets, gives notice on how we proceed with processing the information for and following the 10-day notice policy to get information to the General Tribal Council. So if you guys are okay with that, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Send resolution entitled amending the 120-day petition timeline adopted by General Tribal Council to an upcoming General Tribal Council meeting for consideration.
So moved.
Second.
All right. Motion has been made and seconded. Discussion. And so this is basically just asking General Tribal Council to reconsider their action of the 120 days and moving that to 180 days just to work a little more with the process. 120 days wouldn't be that difficult if we had one petition, you know, per quarter, but the amount of petitions that are coming through, it really puts a damper on all the processing. Having to do multiple petitions that have very detailed explanations with them, and so that our resources are spread thin when there's so many resolutions. So we're going to ask GTC for reconsider that 120 days to 180 days, which I think is very reasonable. Any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Thank you, Joanne. Quality of life. Looking to accept the, thank you, Clarissa, accept the September 13th regular quality of life meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All right. Motion has been made and seconded. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. We have a couple of travel reports. First one is from Councilman Daniel Guzman King from the WIDA and Department of Children and Families consultation in Baraboo, May 31st. Looking for a motion to approve the travel report.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, we have a travel report from Councilman Kirby Matoxin, Annual American Indian Tourism Conference in Albuquerque, New Mexico, September 16th through the 21st. Looking for a motion to approve the travel report.
So moved. Second.
All right, motion has been made and seconded. Discussion?
Discussion. I was nominated for an award out there, but it was awarded to the funding source from the Washington Department of DIA, Department of Transportation.
All right, well, congratulations on that nomination. All right, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. We have some travel requests here. Councilman Jordan, New Horizons 2018 Wisconsin Travel Transportation Conference in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Let's see. Give me a second to catch the page.
Move to approve.
All right. Motion has been made.
Second.
And seconded. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention noted. Motion carries. All right. Thank you. Approved travel request for Councilman Kirby Matoxin for Native American Tourism of Wisconsin, NATAL, board meeting in Great Lakes Intertribal Council, board meeting in Wisconsin Dells, November 6th through the 8th. Kirby?
We just received word yesterday. They changed the dates from the 6th to the 8th, from to the 12th to the 14th.
12th to the 14th. Okay.
Make a motion to approve the travel request with the updated dates.
Second.
All right, motion has been made and seconded, noting the change dates to the 12th through the 14th. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention. Kirby? Motion passes. All right. Approved travel request, Councilman Kirby Metoxin, standing up for Rural Wisconsin Awards Ceremony, Wisconsin Dells, October 29th through the 30th. Let's see.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Discussion? Kirby?
And that's a grant funded through the OSIP. And the veterans in the tribe will be receiving an award for the aquaponics farm to school program.
Okay, I'm just looking for some tribal leadership representation there. Okay, the is grant funded and be reimbursed for the travel. Jenny?
Would we want to consider maybe sending two people, just identifying one more person? Because we do have two programs being honored.
We also have veteran services attending because they have the aquaponics there. And I think there's OSIPs who will be attending. And I believe
the cook from the Oneida High School program will also be attending.
Jesse Patron. Okay. Do you want to consider that, Jenny's request, or are we good with the?
Yeah. No. Okay. You can, up to two people you're asking from the business committee?
Yes. You and somebody else.
Yes.
Okay. So that would, you know, that may change. I don't know about the granting source, if that would be reimbursed or not, or that would have to be available in their funds. So we just have to note that. So we would just make a motion to approve the travel request for the Standing Up Rural Wisconsin Awards Ceremony. Kirby Metoxin and one additional business committee member to attend. Okay, is that motion made already? Or okay, Jenny. Okay, do you want to?
I have Ernie and David.
We just concur with that.
Concur with changing that to additional business committee member.
And just put that noted that if. The grants available, these funds available, and schedules available, I'd be interested in attending events. If you wanted to consider that.
Okay. Well, we'll just add, because if it's not, then, you know, I'd have that spot open. So you made the motion?
Ernie and David.
Ernie and David? Okay, so you're good? And you're good with the motion change? Okay. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, we have the approved travel request for Councilman Kirby Metoxin, Wisconsin Department of Transportation, meeting Milwaukee, November 5th and the 6th. Kirby?
I'm the alternate on that, and that's the New Horizon, and I was just informed it is from the 5th through the 7th. I have the 6th on there. And that was due to originally NATO and Great Lakes booked their meeting right after that, and I was going to go to that, but since they changed their schedule, it changed my dates.
Motion to approve with the changes.
All right, motion has been made and seconded. What are the changes? November
5th through the 6th. 7th. 5th through the 7th. Also, it's grant funded. It's paid through Department of Transportation.
Okay.
Kirby, did you also want to mention your assistant?
I'm trying to get my assistant updated on some of the initiatives and liaison positions, so I've requested her attend with me, which is also funded through the Department of Transportation.
Okay, so it's all grant funded. Okay. All right. Noting that it is will be reimbursed as a grant funded function. Looking, motion has made and seconded. More discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Same. Motion. One abstention. Kirby? Motion carries. Approval travel request for Councilwoman Jennifer Webster, Region 11, American Indian and Alaska Native Training Conference in Albuquerque, New Mexico, November 26th to the 30th. Jenny?
Just noting for the record that I will not be attending this because the Bemidji area has their budget formulations at the same time. So I have asked alternate liaison Kirby Matoxin to attend on behalf of the tribe. And also noting that it is funded through Head Start.
Okay. So approved travel request and insert Councilman Kirby Matoxin to the Region 11 American Indian Alaska Native National Training Conference in Albuquerque, New Mexico, November 26th to the 30th, noting that it is grant funded and be reimbursed. Travel. We're okay with that. Looking for that motion.
So moved.
Motion has been made.
Second.
Seconded. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Abstentions. Aye. One abstention. Motion carries. All right. New business. Approve. Is it FY?
Calendar year.
Calendar year. I don't see that too often. Calendar year vacancy postings for boards, committees, commissions, corporate laws, standing committees, and other. So this is basically just providing a schedule for when the vacancies happen throughout the year, that there's a set schedule. It would be a lot easier on the secretary's office and how they process that.
Move to approve.
Second.
All right, motion has been made and seconded. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Abstentions. Motion carries. All right. Outagamie County project agreement, transportation project agreement for engineering design, right-of-way construction of transportation enhancements along the C, the County Highway J, H and J, site improvements for property directly abutting to County Highway J in Oneida. Let's see.
Move to approve.
Second discussion.
Yeah, motion has been made and seconded. This is what this was. This the topic we were talking about in CDPC, where they had to bring forward the agreement for us to allow them to. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Yeah. So this agreement is a government-to-government based agreement with Outagamie County and DOT regarding what's known as Upper Oneida. Basically, the interchange. Was the interchange is the right word with 54 in County Highway J, and it's basically the first step. And then, again, this is just a public statement for the public's information, but it's a first step towards. Kind of a long-term vision that's been developed and created with the community input in that area to not just beautify it but make it more accessible. And so the DOT and Outagamie County's involvement from an engineering, design, construction standpoint is to make it a safer area, not only vehicle transportation but pedestrian walking, biking transportation. And to really kind of connect the community. So I just wanted to throw it out there as a public statement because I think it's, to me, it's exciting only because, you know, this new construction will make it safer to cross 54 from J to Seminary, you know, into other areas as well as the trail behind the one stop. So just to kind of give some context as to what this project entails and what it creates. And so, again, it's a first step in a multiple-phase project for Upper Oneida to redesign it, and there's more long-term visions that we have to kind of figure out, but this sets the tone, and it's also a strong, small but significant multi-governmental project that you know opens up and strengthens that relationship to allow us to do more things like it for the nation. So I just want to provide that statement. Thank you.
All right. Motion has been made and seconded. Any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Abstentions. Motion carries. All right, so now we have approved business committee standard operating procedure entitled Section 16 Travel and Expense Policy. This SOP is in relation to the organization providing travel requests in appropriate time to the business committee agendas. And so it outlines what type of information is to be required that comes along with the travel requests in a specific time period, 30 days prior to the travel request. And so this provides a consistent process and information that's to be provided, so which has not been the case in prior requests. So this sets the standard. So if you guys are okay with that, looking for a motion to approve the Oneida Business Committee Standard Operating Procedure entitled Section 16 Travel Expense Policy.
So moved.
Motion has been made.
Second.
Seconded. Discussion. Kirby?
Yeah, is there provision in here, and I know through our Governmental Services Division, there are times when they're given less than a week to something's coming up on the Hill, either in Washington or in Madison, because this says they have to give a 30-day notice. And I know there are times when the 30 days aren't even available.
Yeah, I would think.
And I don't want this to hinder any lobbying or anything that we may or the governmental services area would have to, you know, go to Washington or to Madison. And in particular, I'm thinking in Candace's office, that area.
I think this is only for Section 16 of the policy, which actually identifies more than what the policy says, like more than four people or three people.
Three people from the same area.
From the same area.
15 people, okay. Travel-wide.
In a group. And, right. And the reason why the 30 days is put in there is because for planning purposes, it saves the tribe money by planning it out further. And it also identifies how many people will be in one vehicle, and all the names would be provided because that was being one of the things that were being lax before. They weren't submitting all the information.
So if you remember, Kirby, for the cultural heritage, they didn't submit and they had to come back again.
Yep. Okay.
This just outlines all that.
Okay.
Stuff.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, good. Any more discussion? Okay. Yeah, just noting the effective date is January 1st. All right. Motion is made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, so approve. Next one is approve exception to the resolution BC 122716A and start executive session discussion on December 11th at 10 a.m.
So moved.
Second.
All right, motion has been made and seconded. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. And approve three actions regarding the calendar year 2019 Oneida Business Committee standing meeting schedule. Let me find this page. And this would be on page starting on 170. So have the calendar available.
Motion to approve. Okay. My motion would be for the first action to change from the quarterly meeting with the different joint meetings with areas to twice a year.
All Okay, motion has been made.
Second.
For the joint meetings with the Judiciary, Land Claims Commission, and Gaming Commission will be held twice per year, noting that they were previously held quarterly. All right, motion has been made and seconded. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, the second one is the added the BC budget work session to the first Tuesday of each month from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. And 69. And the last one is to direct the Oneida Trust Enrollment Committee liaison and member, Councilman Kirby Matoxin, to bring the proposed change to the joint meeting schedule to the Oneida Trust and Enrollment Committee for discussion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. To approve, Missy, go back and we just approved that the committee will meet with those entities twice a year instead of quarterly, and you need to approve the calendar year 2019 Oneida Business Committee standing meeting schedule, including exceptions to the resolutions BC 1227 16A and BC 927 17D in November and December. So we can do that as a separate motion? Okay.
So moved.
Right, motion has been made.
Second.
And seconded. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, so that moves on. We have reports. Those reports will be conducted in the afternoon. We have General Tribal Council. A determined alternate date and time for inclement weather date for January 31st annual General Tribal Council meeting. So I think we had discussions on that, and we did have... So we have five dates here. Thursday, September 7th, Monday, February 11th, February 13th, noting that it is a business committee meeting day, Saturday, February 16th, and Sunday, February 17th. David?
Make a motion to choose Monday, February 11th. 6 p.m. or 6 p.m.
Okay.
Can also include an exception to be an executive session. 12:30.
So, let's see. You're picking Monday, February 11th?
Correct.
And then we're looking, and you want to include that for a late start date, the 10th, the 10 o'clock on the 12th, or?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. All right, motion has been made. Somebody second that? Jenny, second that? Remembering that the inclement weather date will be February 11th on a Monday, and that we will start the next day at 11, executive session. Any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. So next is looking for a retro-approved Sunday, December 16th 2018 at 10 a.m. as the alternate date and time for inclement weather date for the December 10th Special General Tribal Council meeting.
So move.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, executive session. You guys want to pull up your executive session notes. Give you some time to pull that up. And I need time. Comprehensive Health Division FY Quarter Executive Report. All right. Looking for a motion to accept the Comprehensive Health Division Quarter Executive Report, Fourth Quarter Executive Report.
So moved.
Motion has been made.
Second.
Seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Looking for a motion to the direct HRD area manager to submit an update regarding the environmental assessment results to the Comprehensive Health Division directors no later than October 31st.
So moved.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Governmental Service Division Fourth Quarter Report. Looking for a motion to accept that.
So move.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Looking for a motion to accept the Internal Services Division Fourth Quarter Executive Report.
So move.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. And let's see. There's a suggestion motion here, but I think we wanted, I don't know if we wanted to defer it or you just wanted to accept it.
Defer.
Okay. Defer. Looking for a motion to defer the Division of Public Works FY 2018 Fourth Quarter Executive Report to November 14th, Regular Business Committee meeting agenda.
So moved.
Second.
And motion is made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Looking for a motion to accept the Community and Economic Development Division Fourth Quarter Executive Report.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Looking for a motion to forward information regarding the travel and expense policy changes to the November BC work session for further discussion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Looking for a motion to direct a business committee member. We'll designate that as in the motion to draft an SOP to accompany resolution BC 07-1217A to be submitted for the November BC work session for further discussion.
Seven.
I'll make a motion to direct the chief counsel to draft an SOP to accompany resolution BC-07-12-17A to be submitted for the November BC work session for further discussion.
Second.
All right, good motion. Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Looking for a motion to accept the chief counsel report.
So moved.
Second. Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Looking for a motion to schedule a tentative special GTC meeting on September 17th with two topics on the agenda, per capita discussion and GTC confidentiality.
So moved.
Second.
And motion has been made and seconded. December.
December, you said September.
No, sorry. Noting or making sure that's December 17th. That would have been weird or bad. Procedural question, as we don't have discussion on executive session items.
Just want to emphasize tentative.
Okay. All right. Well, and making sure that it's clear that it's a tentative date for December 17th at 6 p.m.
And then I also would like to identify weather and climate weather. Makeup.
Inclement weather. I think it was going to be like February. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that will come forward. So, all right. Motion is made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Opposed.
One opposition. Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Chief Counsel, Chief Financial Officer report. Looking for a motion to accept the Chief Financial Officer October 2018 report.
So moved.
Motion has been made. Get that to Kirby, seconded by Jenny. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. I have a series of motions on here. For the Intergovernmental Affairs, Communications, and Self-Governance October report, looking to accept that.
So moved.
Motion has been made.
Second.
Seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Looking to approve the recommendations of Intergovernmental Affairs and support the State Tribal Relations Committee recommended name change from the Act 31 to Wisconsin First Nations Education.
So moved.
Second.
And motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Looking for a motion to direct Councilman Stevens to work with the Intergovernmental Affairs and Communications to develop tax credit talking points and to schedule a meeting with Senator Darling.
So moved.
Motion has been made and seconded. Discussion? No discussion.
Oh, no.
No discussion, no.
Okay.
Unless it's procedural or... All right. All those in favor...
The motion. It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, that's... That'd be... Then if it's the motion itself, then yeah. You can question, yeah.
I would just recommend to change the specific verbiage of tax credit to economic development.
Okay, so you guys okay with that?
Sure.
Okay, so the motion would read, direct Councilman Stevens to work with Intergovernmental Affairs and Communications to develop economic development talking points and schedule a meeting with Senator Darling. You okay with that, Kirby?
Yep.
All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Let's see. And lastly, in this item, direct Intergovernmental Affairs and Communications to work with the Community and Economic Division Director to explore, quote unquote, Fixing America's Surface Transportation, FAST Act, or FAST Act, to determine if this federal financial assistance can assist in local projects, including the Southern Bridge.
So moved.
Second. Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Discussion? Or no discussion, sorry. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. So we go to standing items. Oneida Golf Enterprise Corporation, the LPGA. We're looking to accept the Thornberry Creek LPGA Classic October 2018 report.
So moved.
Motion has been made. Second. Seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Audit Committee meeting. Audit Committee looking to accept the September 13th regular Audit Committee meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposition? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Let me see. That was September 13th. Okay. We're looking for a motion to accept the October 11th regular Audit Committee meeting minutes.
So moved.
Right. Motion has been made and seconded. Discussion? No discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Let's see. I know we've done this before, but do you want to go down all the way? Do we have to do each individual one, or do you want to? Okay. All right. Looking for a motion to accept the Blackjack Rules of Play compliance audit and lift the confidentiality requirement.
So moved.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Looking for a motion to accept the complimentary items and services compliance audit and lift the confidentiality requirement.
So moved.
Motion is made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention. Motion carries. Looking for a motion to accept the drop and count class 2 poker kiosk compliance audit and lift the confidentiality requirement.
So moved.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
I'm sorry. Abstain.
One abstention. Now, looking for a motion to accept the drop and count compliance audit and lift the confidentiality requirement. Motion has been made.
Second.
Second. Seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Abstain.
One abstain. One abstentions. Okay. Motion carries. Looking for a motion to accept the engineering department performance assurance audit and lift the confidentiality requirement.
So moved.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? One abstention. Motion carries. Looking to accept the Easy Baccarat Rules of Play compliance audit and lift the confidentiality requirement.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention. Motion carries. Looking for a motion to accept the Let It Ride Rules of Play compliance audit and lift the confidentiality requirement.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention?
Abstain.
One abstention. Motion carries. Looking for a motion to accept the Medical Professionals Administration Performance Assurance Audit and lift the confidentiality requirement.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention. Motion carries. Looking for a motion to accept the Oneida Golf Enterprise Thornberry Creek and Oneida Forensic Accounting and Financial Investigation Services Report and lift the confidentiality requirement.
So moved.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention. Motion carries. Looking for a motion to accept the surveillance compliance audit and lift the confidentiality requirement.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? One abstention. Motion carries. Unfinished business. File number PA501. Follow up with DR04. Let me get onto this page. Sorry. Looking to accept the discussion regarding file PA501 as information.
So moved.
Motion has made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention. Motion carries. Looking for a motion to direct HRD area manager to submit an update regarding the staffing model process as it relates to performance assurance audits as part of the executive report at the November 14th regular business committee meeting agenda.
So moved.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention?
Abstain.
One abstention. Motion carries. File number PA502, follow up with DR16. Looking for a motion to accept the discussion regarding file PA502 as information.
So moved.
Motion has been made.
PA 502.
Yeah.
It was ahead.
The suggested motion is 503. So we'll just say 502. It's been motion by Jenny and seconded by Kirby. Okay, noted. This is 502. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention. Motion carries. All right. And so this one is... one more to direct the HRD manager to submit an update regarding the annual conflict of interest disclosure process executive report at the November 14th regular business committee meeting agenda.
Now are we on 503?
Now you're on
503.
503
first.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to accept the discussion regarding file PA-503 as information.
Okay. Motion is made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention. Motion carries. All right. Looking for a motion to direct HRD manager to submit an update regarding the annual conflict of interest disclosure process executive report at the November 14th regular business committee meeting agenda.
So moved.
Second.
All right. Motion is made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. No, one abstention?
Abstention.
One abstention. Motion carries. All right. Number three. DR16. E1. I got file number PA503 with TDR, but we just, okay. Okay, new business. All right, there we are. Looking to approve the request to expand support and authorization granted on May 23rd, 2018 by Oneida Business Committee member to include the additional research request as identified in October 18th, 2018 research request, Diane House doctoral dissertation memo from Chief Counsel.
So moved.
Second.
That motion is made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention. Motion carries. All right. We have an adoption. Looking for to adopt the resolution entitled regarding pardon of Timothy Christian.
So moved.
Second.
All right, motion is made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Same.
Two abstentions, noting Trish and Kirby. And motion carries. Motion passes. Looking to adopt resolution entitled regarding pardon of Eleanor Sweat.
So moved.
Second.
And motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention. Motion carries. Looking for a motion to adopt the resolution entitled regarding pardon of Randall Archkett.
So moved.
Motion has been made.
Second.
Seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention. Motion carries. All right. Review and approve internal memorandum regarding FY 2020 and future budget personnel requests planning guidelines. Looking for a motion to accept the draft internal memorandum FY 20 and future budget personnel requests planning guidelines as information.
So moved.
Motion has been made.
Second.
Seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention. Motion carries. All right, review applications. Looking for this. This is just a discussion for the Oneida Veteran Affairs Committee. Looking to accept the discussion regarding the applications for the Oneida Nation Veteran Affairs Committee as information.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. One abstention. Trish. All right, review applications for the Oneida Powell Committee. Looking to accept the discussion regarding the applications for the Oneida Powell Committee vacancy as information.
So moved.
Motion has been made.
Second.
Seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention. Motion carries. Let's see. Lastly, looking for a motion to approve a limited waiver of sovereign immunity for the Portfolio Media, Inc. Law 360 contract file 2018-1216.
So
moved. Motion has been made.
Second.
Seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention. Motion carries. And that will conclude our agenda for this morning and this afternoon. We will come back at 1:30 for the Comprehensive Health Division FY 2018 fourth quarter report. All right. We need to make a motion to recess to 1:30.
So moved.
Motion has been made to recess to 1:30. Been seconded. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Meeting back to order at 1:33, and we have up the Comprehensive Health Division fourth quarter report. We have Debbie Danforth and Dr. Veer representing the Comprehensive Health Division. All right, Debbie.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'd like to touch on some of the highlights. we look at the page that has improved population health management, that talks about some of our access points to the services, medical 4 to 8 weeks for routine appointments. Urgent appointments are seen within 24 hours. Behavioral health, again, 4 weeks for mental health, 6 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks for ATODA and co-occurring. About the same range for psychiatry. Our psychology appointments are 1 week out, and our biggest challenge right now is child psychiatry, which is 13 weeks out. All our follow-up appointments are within the 1 to 2 week range for behavioral health, with the exception of child psychiatry being 3 weeks out. We are looking at improving access for psychiatry. We've have the infrastructure for telehealth. We have a contract with Regroup. State was going to come in and review us to license us for telepsychiatry, which they did last week or a couple weeks ago. So we should be licensed as of November 1st to have telepsychiatry on site, and we're in the process of credentialing a provider so we can have that service initiated sometime before the end of the year. Eye care appointments are at 4 months for routine follow-ups, and walk-ins are seen twice a week. Urgent appointments are seen same day. Dental appointments are booking out through February. Emergencies are seen every day as needed. And if we go to Anna John.
For Anna John, you have the average census over the fourth quarter. Census is down a little bit, but some of that is related as well to staffing levels. We're having some difficulty in terms of the CNAs and our dietary staff, so we are in the boat that everybody else is in terms of long-term care and nursing home facilities. Many of the agencies that we work with are the same agencies that many of other nursing homes work with, and they are having difficulty in filling our needs with CNAs, with RNs, LPNs, and dietary aides. The agencies that we work with basically don't have anybody available, and we're in the same thing as many of the other facilities. So, you know, that was some of the discussion that we had with the committee previously in terms of we need to look at and work with HR in terms of looking at a different model, perhaps paying above market to be able to retain and recruit. Many of the surrounding facilities are paying for CNAs an average of $18 to $20 per hour and $1,000 to $2,000 sign-on bonuses for CNAs, which is why some of our staff are leaving to go to outside agencies because they can get that big of a deal to sign on. And then they're committed for a year and they can come and go wherever they want to. So that is one of the challenges that we're facing in terms of the staffing. But census has been pretty consistent in terms of the number of patients that we have. We've had some that we've lost to passing. We've had some that have been short-term. We do have a big focus on short-term stays. People coming in for rehab, that has been a really good response from the community. They're not afraid to come in for the rehab and just get back on their feet and get better after a major surgery. And then they also have the services as far as therapies to go with that, so it makes it easier and quicker for those individuals to get back out, get discharged from the facility. You have, let's see, the next is technology.
Sure. There's a lot of things happening in technology in the healthcare field. We just mentioned the telehealth or telepsychiatry. We are also looking at having that same service available in other locations outside of behavioral health. We just implemented the patient engagement software, which is called Relation. What that does is sends out reminder messages to patients utilizing the Centricity system for reminder calls, whether it's by voice, landline, email, and or text messages. So that's really something that's going to help us reduce our no-show rates. Our no-show rates are trending in the 10 to 11% range, and we'd like to get that in the single digits. That's been our aspiration for quite some time, and we're almost there, but not quite. This will also help us in being able to provide surveys for patients in real time by text messaging or emails, so we can get feedback in real time and have some meaningful data to really make improvements. We are also looking at a similar, now this impacts the medical clinic and behavioral health that uses the Centricity system for scheduling. We have a similar system in place called Lighthouse 360 for the dental clinic, which uses Dentrix as a software. And we're still in the process of making the system work for CompuLink, which is our eye clinic software. They're having some technical glitches with that. We are in the process of working to get EPCS, as it's called, electronic prescribing of controlled substances. We should have that probably in the second quarter of this year. Our vendor GE has had some technical issues, so that process got delayed a few months, but they are now back on track, and we should be able to get that implemented. What this will do is the SCED2 drugs, the drugs that we currently have to print out a prescription, which cannot be sent electronically, will be able to be prescribed electronically once that system is up and running.
Under the continuous quality improvement accreditation of the health division, we have listed in terms of the work that's been done in terms of the standard operating procedures for credentialing, privileging, and peer review. Dental and optical have completed their peer reviews and are in the process of reporting that out to our quality assurance committee. Medical is working with their medical practice group in terms of the peer review for that area. We are conducting chart access audits within all of the areas of the facility. We are in the process of coordinating a mock survey where we will take the standards from the AAAHC and we will have a team that will conduct a survey just as if the surveyors from AAAHC were to come in, and then we'll prepare to address that the findings from that mock survey with the management team and look at where our areas of improvement are going to need to be focused on. We are also working on our regular quarterly drills, the Code Blue and our RAVE drill prior to the bad weather months coming ahead, so that we are sure everything is in working order. Public health accreditation, we do have an approved action plan that was approved by the Public Health Accreditation Board on July 20th. And so we are continuing to move forward with our action plan. Some of the points of highlights of the action plan had to focus on how that legal process works with the Legislative Operating Committee and any laws that are on the books pertaining to public health. And so our public health staff have been working closely with environmental and with LOC to try and get information back on terms of what laws might impact, and they have been providing testimony on some of those laws, the most recent being the harvest law, which came out, and they did have a listening session and made some recommendations to that law as well. So they are trying to become more active in that process so that we can make sure that public health is addressed at all levels of the organization. Under the enhancing our workforce, our current number total of employees for the Comprehensive Health Division is at 349 as of October 1st. That breaks down to 62 at the Anna John, 47 at Behavioral Health, 9 at Employee Health, 46 within medical, and 185 within operations. We have the listing of vacancies, which are still out there. We have continued to have difficulties in terms of filling some critical positions, such as our providers, as well as the CNAs, CMA within the medical clinic, and then again, RN, LPN, CNA for Anna John. In terms of the long-term care update, we are preparing for the next step in terms of meeting with the state and CMS. Dave Larson and Melinda will be attending the CMS TTAG meeting in November, and they're going to try to coordinate a meeting with CMS's tribal affairs coordinator, which is Kitty Marks, while they're out in D.C. We are meeting with the tribe's lobbyist tomorrow. He's doing a presentation during the lunch hour, and we're going to be meeting with him in the morning to discuss what our approach is going to be and how we're going to address the news that we heard in terms of DHS continuing to move forward with renewal of the family care waiver and to include the tribal family care waiver with that renewal. So that's going to move us up quite significantly, with giving us a time window of about 6 to 8 months to have all of the issues addressed. So what the goal is of the meeting in D.C. With Kitty Marks is to basically get a better idea in terms of what the specific issues were that CMS had with the passage of the tribal waiver. With that, just some of the highlights of the celebrations and successes. We had several people that have reached years of service goals. CNA from Anna John was at 35 years. We had a CMA at 30 years with the nation, and we had some additional staff that were present this morning that had reached 25 and 30 years. So we have a number of staff within the division that are at that level in terms of recognition. Important to note that our prenatal coordinator received a Tribal Trailblazer Award sponsored by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, and that was in recognition for her work within prenatal care. We had our team from Health Promotion Disease Prevention was recognized at the Bemidji area level and received the Bemidji Area Director's Award for Wellness for their recognition by CDC of achieving full recognition for the implementation of the CDC Diabetic Prevention Program. Dave Larson was recognized for regional Impact Award by the National Indian Health Board for the work that's been done in terms of achieving the tribally operated family care initiative, which is impacting many tribes across the country. And we have received several invitations from other tribes throughout the country to come in and assist with the implementation of similar programs for home and community-based waivers in their areas. Specifically, the state of Washington was the latest that had requested us to come out and work with the state of Washington as well as their state initiatives on home and community-based waivers.
Did you have anything else?
Just a couple more highlights. Our employee health nursing team conducted 1,800 health risk assessments for employees and spouses. We had the Narcan training for 19 OPD officers that was conducted this quarter. We had the diabetes event that was a success. We had over 450 attendees. And several vendors at that event. That's our annual highlight for the diabetes program, and as usual, it was a sold-out event. We also have some landscaping projects going on in, at the health center with the three clan sculptures that are being placed and some landscaping going on, so that's really looking very nice already, and we're hoping by next spring it'll be all completed and look really nice.
Any questions? Kirby?
The nursing home is a 44-bed facility?
48. 48. And are we currently full?
It's averaging 75 to 80% in this quarter, but it's been as high as 46 out of 48, and it's been as low as 35-36.
Now, recently I have had three tribal families ask me why their elders aren't eligible to get into the nursing home. I know one where one had to do with the memory, Alzheimer's, and I understand they're not certified or trained for that specific diagnosis. Is that correct?
Well, they are residents that have that diagnosis, but we're not a certified memory. We don't have a memory care unit. So if there's a diagnosis of Alzheimer's with individuals requiring a memory care unit, then those are that's an additional certification that we don't have, and we don't have the ability to provide those services. That's a state-level requirement. But in terms of having a diagnosis of Alzheimer's by itself is not a disqualification.
I think it's important to mention, and we do a lot of education with families when we are not able to take a resident. We let them know that it's for that resident or that patient's safety. We have to be able to assure that that individual is going to be safe within our facility. If they have a tendency to wander, our units are not locked. And that's the memory care certification. It has to do with a locked unit that will not allow an individual to get out of that unit, and we don't have that capability within our facility. So if we can't assure the safety of that individual, by law, with our license for the state of Wisconsin, we have to assure the safety of that particular individual. We have to be able to meet all of their needs, both physically and mentally, and we have to assure their safety. If we can't do that, we can't take them. If we do and something happens to the individual, then we're liable. And so a lot of times it's frustrating for community members because they say, well, you have an empty bed. Why can't you just put that person in? And we have to, as staffing, you know, the administrator's license, the nursing license, and the facilities license are all at stake if we accept an individual that we can't meet the needs that they physically have.
Okay. I'm just thinking some of the individuals, it wasn't anything to do with the memory. Mm-hmm. It was just that they were elderly, and they ended up in nursing homes in the Green Bay area and were asked, why can't we get them into our Oneida nursing home?
And again, it's staffing related as well. If some individuals require one-on-ones, which means somebody has to stay with that person 24/7, we don't have the staff to be able to do that at this time.
Okay. Trish?
Just a question on access to care. Mm-hmm. I know that was one of the items I recall from your TSP as a goal to identify or to grow into or whatever. What I'm looking for is, do you have a definition of what access to care means? I mean, is it in relationship to the availability of your doctors, or is it the type of services that you want to provide, or is it just the health center, or is it national natives getting access to care in other clinics? Oneida's getting care in other clinics? Or is it all of the above?
The access to care, the way we defined it, it's actually, there's multiple definitions of access. The way we defined it was we stuck to really the basic definition, meaning what do we... when we went through our strategic planning, we actually got feedback from our staff and from community to say what would be reasonable access for a service. So the way we defined it was we would like to get routine, meaning someone calls and say, I need a physical, routine physical, nothing urgent. That we defined as a routine within 4 weeks would be reasonable. So we set our expectations to say someone that calls in for a routine appointment, we should be able to get them in within 4 weeks. If there was a urgent need, we defined it as a week. If it's an emergency or something that needs to be seen, we defined it as 24 hours. So it's a very, there's not a national definition for access. Everyone kind of has their benchmarks, so to speak. the way we defined it really was to say, here's our benchmark, and are we meeting it or are we not? And if we can't, what do we need to do to meet those expectations? The access we defined it is for services we provide within our facility, so not for the specialty care or outside referrals.
Okay.
So urgent appointments, 24 hours, urgent within a week, and routine within 4 weeks, just as an example.
That's helpful. Understand, so we can understand what you're actually targeting for that. And then in the form itself, it has third available appointment. I'm not sure what that means.
The way we track access really is based on a tool. We use our electronic health record systems. And the reason we use the third available appointment is that's kind of the standard of care. So, for example, when we look through a tool and say, when's the next available appointment? The next available appointment could be today. So, for example, if I have an opening this afternoon that was booked, but someone called this morning and canceled, and we looked through our EMR, my next available appointment could be today, which would skew the numbers and say, oh, we have access same day, when we actually don't. Because that was really a cancellation or somebody no showing an appointment. So the standard really is to look at the third next available appointment as a metric to measure access. So that's what we use.
Thank you.
David?
Make a motion to accept the fourth quarter Comprehensive Health Division 2018 report.
Motion by David.
Second.
Second by Kirby. Discussion?
I just have one question. Not on the report, but for the GTC on Sunday, the 28th, will we be there to help us answer those technical questions in regard to the Medicare?
Jenny, is your mic on?
Oh.
So the Medicare Part B question on Sunday. And so I think we're just going to have a read the analysis. But the questions that arise will be
technical,
very technical answers for the most part. So I think that's the only thing that we were talking about the other day, just making sure we have someone there with the technical expertise to answer those questions. Otherwise, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Thank you, Dr. Veer and Debbie.
Thank you.
All right. Governmental Service Division, fourth quarter report. Of Rocky.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Hello. Good afternoon.
George isn't feeling well. He was in and left, so I'm here in his place. I'll just touch briefly on a couple of highlights in each area. Cultural heritage, phase one and two of the move to Cottage 3 is almost complete. They're waiting on furniture for the last employee to make their move over. And they are requesting to utilize and renovate Cottage 2 for language and wellness. Both wellness staff designated in the Children's Code have been hired. For education and training, administration and higher education are moved to Ridgeview, and yes, is in the CAC. They planned and hosted the Act 31 celebration on August 9th for the 29 years, and that was the premiere of Mock doing singing and sign language to the opening, which was just blew everybody away who was in attendance. They're working on a college comeback program for the Purcell Polish Scholarship to fund students who are suspended from higher education grant at NWTC. They're working with the health center to get a 2019 teen health fair planned for the spring. And they have gone live now with online higher education applications. Parks and Rec, they are using sub-release staff for fitness, and this is working out to offer more classes and weekend classes. They had pop-up fitness classes throughout the annual shutdown with only one cancellation due to inclement weather. Phase two of the remodel for the locker room areas is continuing to be assessed and evaluated, and it should be scheduled to start in February, depending on the approval of the budget. And they have updated menu items offered and are using lettuce from the aquaponics for sandwiches and such. Social services, the Oneida held the Elder Expo on October 7th and 8th. The energy assistance is in full swing. Food distribution has completed upgrades in the interior and exterior of the building, and they are planning to convert into a store concept. Indian Child Welfare continues to work through the Children's Code Implementation Plan and have started conversations with Brown County. And Head Start is collaborating with the language program for the immersion grant program, and that class is full. In transit, two of the seven new buses have been delivered and are on the road. They have just recently had some new hires for drivers, and I think they should be up to par right now. They're purchasing an app that allows riders to schedule pickup drop offs over their phone, and they were selected for a technical assistance assessment site visit, and that was the review went well. Oh, excuse me. And GSD administration is the TAP initiative is being moved over under George's direction, and we are currently working to evolve the quarterly report format so it's more concise and has more information, it's not as big. And we are working to implement the TSP goals and objectives, meeting on doing that.
All right, thank you. Any questions? No? And we heard a lot of this yesterday in the executive session, so we don't have any questions. Yeah.
Move to approve.
All right, motion by Jenny to approve the fiscal 2018 fourth quarter governmental service division report.
Seconded
by Ernie. Discussion.
What are they gonna name the Uber program?
What program?
The transit. There's gonna be something on the phone. People can order.
It's an app. I'm not sure if they're gonna name it anything. I'm sure it has a name, but I'm not. It's just an app that they have available that you can do your appointments and drop offs and pickups right at your fingertips.
Yeah, I think that's kind of neat. I'd like to see the Oneida word, an Oneida app.
An Oneida word for Uber?
For pick me up now. Hanyo?
All right, any more discussion? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions, motion carries. All right. Thank you, Rocky.
Yep.
All right. Internal Service Division 2018 fiscal report, fourth quarter report. All right. We have presentation.
We're technology based. So we must have a presentation, but it'll be fast. So what we're going to do is give you the PowerPoint presentation that gives you the overview and get that out in 10 minutes to give you your 10 minutes Q&A. So we're trying our newest format. And then I do have two announcements, one from Carrie and one on MIS. Thank you very much. Where's my team? Okay, all right. Where's my clicker?
I don't have a clicker.
Okay, so I'll just, all right. So then this is the fourth quarter report, and the first thing to really show is this is July through September. So because it's the summer season, we have a lot of activities that happen. The Big Apple Fest, obviously, the powwow. We had Microsoft here for City Next and Agriculture in Action. But we also continue to have the three areas that we're building systems with, and that is the media, the technology, and the Food Connect. Our goals are all aligned, not only to the BC's goals, but also we've narrowed it down so that you see three distinct areas. One is the community engagement. The other one is operational efficiencies towards sustainability. And the third one is that fire in the belly toward development and innovation. So in the first one, we'll talk a little bit about technology. And I think in this one, we certainly want to talk about the Office 365 Pro Plus and the upgrade and the rollout. We did get a very nice thank you from Troy Parr, so we want to give him kudos and also to the MIS team who wrote it out. And I think this will help a lot more throughout the system. We've looked at the language, and they put in the language app. So that's another improved organizational change there. And when we're starting to look at development and innovation, I think when we had all of the challenges with the Tier 4 upgrades, one thing is when we had that huge storm, had we not had a raised flooring, we would have been in a world of hurt. So thank heavens that the Ho Data Center was above the raised flooring. So that was great. On the media, they still really look at a lot of the events to increase the community engagement. The Apple Fest this year had an increase of almost 1,000 more attendees. So it went to up to 9,000, which was better than 2017 with 8,000. The Golly We Sox also worked very hard with the treasurer's report and got that out to the community members. And then in looking at organizational changes, in the mailings, even though the GTC mailers, the five of them, totaled 2.1 million copies, they're still looking at the permit for another way of saving money going out, and we'll continue to look at ways to get the messaging out to the community and still be careful with our expenditures. So on developing an innovation, you've seen the longhouse now, so that's been opened, and that's great. But they're also starting to look at experiential tours for 2019, and that's kind of where tourism is going, is not only do you look at the sites, but you engage in it. So this is more about the history and a lot of people, actors out there in it. And so they're developing that for 2019. On the Food Connect, which is the other area, the cannery really continues to look at the youth workers that they had this summer and continue to reach out to them also with some of the classes that they're doing. But I do want to mention here that I have to give a lot of kudos to the volunteers of this community that are volunteering at the pantry and also at the aquaponics. So I think between Marlon and Carrie and Richard, they've done a great job of engaging community members to do volunteer work. I'm hoping that as this year goes on, that we can have at least a recognition, whether it's a lunch for them or at least recognize all the volunteers in Oneida that have volunteered on it. So I'll put that out there. The pantry has collected 40,719 pounds of food. And so I think this speaks back to the treasurer's comments of we're trying to minimize the tribal contributions, and Marlon is looking for donated food also. So we continue to work on those avenues. And Jamie from the cannery should be coming up if she's not here, and at the end of this report she'll show you her new little food product. So we'll hold that for the end of the report when she comes up here. Just want to give you a moment of waiting. So on the specialized services, the grants continue to knock it out. And what we're seeing now is it's very competitive with grants. They have secured $3.8 million. But what we're seeing is they're really going after private foundations to get grants in from them. So that's another avenue that we're looking at, but it really helps with a lot of the programs that we have here. And then when you look at the VA and CARE, looking at the disability compensation, definitely $308,000 in retro pays is very, very good. Develop and innovation. I think one good thing is, again, they're continuing to work on the youth leadership, and I think that that's another avenue that we're looking at ways that people can build teams and the youth can develop through that. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about the horizon. So we put this out there. We had a meeting with Microsoft when they came in. To talk about City Next, and we're still working with them on a pilot program to get that implemented. So what that does is it really takes more of the systems within your website to have community engagement, where the community could get their tags, car tags online, and also engage with the leadership and the government on it. So we'll continue to work on that one. Jamie's quite busy. She'll be busy with the Thanksgiving orders. And then we also will have the presentation on the food center coming up on the in November. And so that one will be an open discussion on the 19th of November at 2:30. And so we've changed that. And we're exploring the hemp, just the value-added byproducts, and so we had a meeting, Jamie and Richard and I did, too, with the Menominee to talk a little bit about what kind of value-added. You know, are we talking about an easy one, which is food products such as chocolate-covered seeds, and maybe that becomes our food product. So that's in Jamie's court, so she's doing a great job at that. But we're always very cognizant that everything we're doing is really to build a nation, and that's the important thing. So my two announcements here, I'll ask Carrie to come up, but I do want to have you look at the Golly Wee Sox in a Day in the MIS Help Desk that I think is great. So I hope you get a chance to see what the Help Desk is a little about. And then I'll ask Carrie and Jamie to come up with her comments before we open it up.
What you got in front of you is the press release from today for the Flight of Champions. It's taking on November 1st. We are a sponsor on that, and I got to thank the Office of Intertribal Government. They picked up the tab for 25 rooms at the Radisson for veterans that are coming out of town on the 30th. The marquee is going to be changed. We talked to the marquee people. That's going to have Flight of Champions. And, again, this is in conjunction with Green Bay's 200th anniversary, or Brown County, I'm sorry, its 200th anniversary and the Packers' 100th anniversary. So it's a pretty big event.
And I'll turn it over to Jamie
for hers. It's a good week. I know that the anticipation is here on our freeze-drying production and products, but I just broke my storage key, so you're going to have to wait. Sorry about that. But the exciting part about what the cannery production is doing in the future of the processing facility is really looking at maximizing value-added potentials, whether it's corn, whether it's apples, whether it's pears, and we're really trying to utilize the complete food system that we have currently within our nation. So it's utilizing the apple orchard with whatever that we possibly can. And so this year, which I have never known, and I've also worked there, is that the orchard grows pears. I did not know that. So then when Orchard said, hey, I have some pears, can you do something with them? I definitely can, because I think one of the strengths that I have is really looking at a value added and the potential of raw products. So when we're looking at pears, we made pear butter, pear chips, freeze-dried pears, and diced pears. And so when we're looking at apple production in general and apple chips in general, we're really looking at byproducts. So what can we do more with the I would say the waste, right? But to us now, we're not looking at it as waste. We're looking at it as a value. So therefore, then we're creating an apple butter. So again, we're really trying to maximize all of raw products that we can to really increase the, not only, of course, the revenue side of it, but to really increase the production side of availability to our community members. And when we tie in certain foods and nutrition, that's the other key point that the cannery really looks at, with low sugar, low salt. salts, and definitely no added preservatives. So if you know me, you really know my strong points against GMOs and additives and preservatives and things like that. So we definitely find an all-natural organic method in whatever we're doing. The cannery really is leading Indian country in food production, even in the small space that we have currently, of course, looking at a potential food system and really looking at what the potential is. I'm sure Jenny could even share with you. I'm always saying, Jenny, look at what we're doing. Look at how cool. Look at this is something new. So it's kind of fun in that sense of really looking at the production and the possibilities of that growth coming out of the cannery. We get a lot of requests to have me either come out to do trainings or jobs even to get other nations going. And so we've done some things. That demand is high, and I'm incredibly fortunate even to work alongside Joni to really magnify the cannery's direction.
So just so that you know, in our futuring of it, it's not only value-added, but also it's products to market. So Jamie has been asked to by some community members about labeling, so we're starting to look at the grant again to see if we can get one for entrepreneurs to get products to market. So when you think of this space of the Food Connect, it's how do we get it processed into market. So I can now open it up for questions from our knowledge-based team here. From you to our knowledge-based team.
So you want to do it individually or wait till overall?
Open questions, whatever you want.
Okay, well, Ernie.
On that last piece, the market opportunity, I know there's a troubled member and probably a few that want to maximize that. Can you guys hear me? It's on. But there's a particular, I believe it's a business that does maple syruping. I know a lot of people do it, but they have their own labeling. It's the Skinnador Farm. You guys aware of them?
Right.
So I know they're a big advocate. I've talked to Isaiah a number of times, and so he's willing to, if I wanted to pilot test to create some, what the pricing is and how to take that to market and just kind of figure out what, if not everything that he does can be put into the market. And the discussion we had was basically how do we take products like that, whether it's a family or a co-op type of, group. There's a few people that we're putting together to do some tapping, hopefully next year. And so how do we take that and then supply the demand and need for our market almost, like, I won't say exclusively, but have one, two, or three products. So when you go there now, there might be a product from Red Cliff or some other tribe, and to give us, I say us, but our tribal members first refusal if they wish to provide, those kind of items. And so that way you kind of fill the different voids of what you guys are currently doing, and they can get creative and say, we're going to design a new snack. How do we package that? How do we get that to the market? So those kind of things that we can pilot test for and create entrepreneurs if they're not already out there. So that's just something I wanted to share and is a good start.
So that's
here.
Where we're requesting. I spoke to Grants Department to look at that AMS, USDA AMS grant, because even Jamie has a lot of people asking about the items and how you do the brand and the packaging. And Michelle's team had done the experience before with the Skinnadors. They came to some, and they're going to be featured in, February at the Business and the Agriculture in Action. That's for entrepreneurs to come talk at lunch that third Thursday. So we'll get you the dates and hopefully you'll come, especially to promote entrepreneurs.
Any more questions? David?
Make a motion to accept the Internal Services fourth quarter 2018 report.
All right. Motion by David, seconded by Jenny. Any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, team.
Thank you.
All right. Division of Public Works 2018 fourth quarter report. Jackie.
Good afternoon.
Jackie.
I'll just go over some of the summary, and then if there's questions on anything specific. I noticed just sitting here listening to the other divisions, a lot of what they're doing we're involved with. It's nice to see that interconnection and working together. A lot of the topics we're not maybe central in, but just on the peripheral supporting it. So the year-to-date actuals as of August were at $182,000 positive variance. September's preliminary report has come out, and at that point we're at $399,000 positive variance. A majority of that is the $150,000 variance in admin, which we did eliminate some positions this year. So that accounted for quite a bit of it. The other big, I guess, swing on this is that Community Wells and Septic did receive accounts receivable for some of the projects they've been doing throughout the year that they closed out with housing in IHS. So there was that increase in revenues for them. So, you know, it's right around a 4% variance. I don't know if that'll change much because those were preliminary numbers. I think that's quite well within range of a $11 million budget to be a little under. 4% is pretty close. As far as other things that affected the budget, we did have quite a few medical leaves. And in August, we were doing the disbursement of the incentives. So those changes came across in September. What we did as far as our manager-supervisor meeting that we try to have monthly, we asked, there's 24 people, managers, supervisors in that meeting, how many attended the last GTC meeting for the presentations. There was only a handful that attended, so what we did was play the presentations from DPW, the two that we put together, and then let people know that the others are available as well. I don't know if those are available on the internet yet, or will they be? It's a question I had. Or could they be? So we got positive feedback on that, and you know, because a lot of employees have not seen those. So I don't know if there's, you know, other ways we can kind of get them included.
Could we have those available for at least the employees in the area? Those videos we played for the overview, and the presentation we had for, was it the budget? Was the budget overview?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think the employees want to see the final product. I know sometimes when you're doing it, actually, you don't know what it's going to look like until, or you don't ever get to see what the final product is. So I think we can do that, yeah.
I say that too.
Trish, can you use your mic, please?
Was our goal was to try and put it on the internet and or on the members only website at least, but the size of it might be challenging. So,
sure. Well, it worked where we just showed it too. I mean, if that's an option, you know, we have access to it. Some of the things we're doing overall in the division is this last quarter was to complete our capital expenditure projects. For this coming year, we will be having a maintenance improvement fund set up by finance, which will replace the capital or the building improvement projects, and that will help us immensely with planning out our projects, because we're not having to wait for the budget to be approved. And those that cross fiscal years, we don't create quite a jam at the end of the year trying to get those done when some things are seasonal. So that's really appreciated to have that incorporated this coming year. We continue to implement Archibus. Custodial will be coming up. We have new people involved with that as far as migrating the inventory and getting that on the system. We also worked with the VIA regional facilities manager. They come through and do an audit on the building and the operations and safety, and there's two or three of these annually and focusing on different areas of the operation. So we are addressing those deficiencies, and that's a place where we are able to get quite a bit of funding from the Bureau for things that they've identified that require capital improvements. Tanya Hill Horkman, I have to say, has done an excellent job in maintaining the information, putting in the required requests for funding, and I feel like we're really maximizing what we're getting out of that. The other thing they said is that the more we can show as far as the needs of the schools, you know, the more funding we can possibly get, because that's what's being seen by Washington. So we're just loading that database up with everything we can. We are emphasizing employee development, whether that be cross-training or just training for their positions. We held the boom lift, scissors lift training, and we will be holding another session. We weren't able to get as many employees through there as we are needing to get through there. We also have...
Jackie, what was that training you just mentioned?
It's lift training.
Oh,
so
lift
forklift,
training.
Scissors lift, boom
okay.
lift. We've got one-man lifts so that they're familiar with especially the safety aspects of using the lift and the harnesses and even refresher training for those that have used it quite a while. At the end of the month, we have heavy equipment training scheduled. That's more for the loaders, the excavators. Again, the focus is on safety. It's not going to teach you how to, you know, be an operator, but go over those safety issues that even experienced office operators need to be reminded of. We have also implemented in-house language learning with Mike King is doing that for us. So we have small groups get together, spend short time each week, those that are interested. So that's been well received. Some of these things that we've implemented, I think, got generated from the incentive plan. I know that the incentive plan isn't in effect this year, but it did give everyone motivation to look at how can we do better and what would those measurements be, and to track those measurements. So that was appreciated. We also did group activities, you know, as acknowledgement to those that have done such a good job as a group, as a team. Sometimes we have to go beyond the individual measurements. We did offer for, as an incentive, the custodians to attend the International Housekeeping Association recognition and banquet that was held over in Green Bay. They used to go to those each year. That hasn't happened for probably 15 years. There were several custodians recognized at that banquet for their years of service with the nation and other recognitions for people. So it was a nice event, and we had a good turnout for that. Otherwise, a lot of groundskeeping, landscaping is going on right now before winter. As the health center stated, if you can get over there and look at the Three Clans sculptures that were provided, the crew is doing the landscaping around those. Some of it will have to wait till spring to finish. West Wind is another area they've recently addressed. And the bridges should be getting lights put on this week.
Okay. Any questions?
I'll make a motion to accept the Division of Public Works FY 2018 fourth quarter report.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Discussion? Trish?
Just one question. You stated that in the beginning that you had some medical leaves in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not due to injuries at work,
no.
Is it?
No.
Thank you.
No, nothing nothing like that. I should have declared that. But when they're offered 3 months for, you know, knee replacement, then those 3 months of salary aren't in our expenses. So we had three in one department for 3 months, so it adds up.
Okay. All right. Any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jackie.
As an FYI, we actually deferred your executive session until next meeting.
Next week?
The next meeting.
Next meeting. Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. Did any word back from Troy? If you guys want to take, let's see, we got till 2:50. Anything? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we already did. Yeah.
This morning.
You can go back. We can. If you guys have any questions, I know these reports, we get most of the information in the executive session.
Yeah.
And so if you guys want to,
this one?
Yeah, wait for it, wait for Troy to come up, or want
to? I'm okay with approving it.
Okay. Yeah, just only consideration because there's nobody in attendance. Okay. All right, if you guys want to do it, make a motion to accept the Community and Economic Development Division FY 2018 fourth quarter report.
So moved.
Motion by David.
Second.
Seconded by Ernie. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Motion to adjourn.
We'll conclude the agenda. David makes a motion to adjourn at 2:30. Seconded by Ernie. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you.